In this episode, we explore the very beginning and have a little spring fever. Thanks for joining. Ready, set, go.
No information obtained from the following production is legal advice and does not create an attorney-client relationship with the Law Office IAJ, Law LLC, or any attorney or professional appearing on this program. You should consult an attorney for individualized advice regarding your own situation or specific legal concerns.
Broadcasting from Edina, Minnesota, your host, Attorney Jasper Berg. Hashtag Jasper.
Why, hello there. Thanks for joining. I am humbled that you found a way to connect with me and my law practice here on a kind of a warming February. So wherever you are, I hope there is something positive going on. Quite a few things that I want to bring to our attention. This show is going to go in multiple facets, intended for those who I serve, and maybe build a little more of a closer rapport. So I'd like to, you know, why would you even care to join me here right now, and why and what can I do to offer you more value? And really, to go down that path, I'd love to share with you why I'm here in the first place. The story kind of begins something like this. Say, early 90s. The setting is early 1990s. I'm a younger lad. I'm probably in late junior high, 13, 14 years old, living, of course, with my family. And my family had recently moved to this home in the eastern suburbs, Woodbury, Minnesota. And I recall how hard, how difficult, how much blood, sweat, and tears that it took my family to get to this particular home. A lot of sacrifice. And finally, my parents had found this beautiful, beautiful home for my family, my sisters. And it just had, what made it so beautiful? Well, it was near a park, a very famous park in Woodbury, a pond, walking paths, bike paths, a playground, basketball courts, tennis courts, just beautiful. I mean, just the ultimate mecca for any young person wanting to feel like the world was their oyster. And it was phenomenal. It was such a wonderful, I can remember going to this particular neighborhood before my parents had moved there. They had spoken and talked about their goals and said, I'm going to be here. Our family is going to be here. How do we get there? And I got to watch firsthand my parents working, building, and doing some pretty amazing things, especially in hindsight. And finally, they had been able to gather enough resources and get to this place. And I'd like to think we took full advantage of it, meaning always outside, always running around playing. We had wonderful neighbors. We were close to the schools that we attended. I mean, it was just a great thing. And then it was about, I don't know, late July, probably 1992 per se, late July. It was very, very hot. My father had come home from a long day's worth of work. It was so hot, we were just introduced to air conditioning, so I'm going to stay in and enjoy that. That was something that I didn't experience. My dad had come home. We had a family pet. And by the way, if you go check out some of my social media sites on Instagram or Facebook, you can see a picture of me in 1992 with my family pet, our family pet. I won't spoil the surprise, but I encourage you to get there. But we had this family pet, and my father came home working a long day. I was probably supposed to take our pet outside, but my father wanted to go on a walk. Let's get a little exercise. Let's take care of ourselves. We had this beautiful walking path, so that's what he did. He gathered up my young sister, put a leash on our family pet. Again, go to my Instagram account or Facebook account. You'll be able to see a picture of that. And they went for a walk. And I think they made it about a half a mile where they finally made it to a playground. And when you're close to a playground, there's usually lots of children. And as I was told later, a young person and their guardian ran to my father and my sister and our family pet. And it's such an adorable family pet. I mean, just cute as a button. Soft, perky ears. I can see why anybody would want to run up to our family pet. And then the unthinkable happened. The unthinkable happened. My father was not prepared for it. My young sister was not prepared for it. Nobody was prepared for it. The young child who had approached my father and my sister. And what happened was this young child, never knew who that person was, lunged for our family pet, just lunged at it. And our family pet, being a little more mature than probably your family pet, did exactly what you might be thinking. The family pet bit this young child. Some abrasions, some blood. Just a horrible transition. Just horrible. My father, without question, was scared. My young sister was scared. The child who was bitten, scared. The young child's guardian, scared. Fear on a hot summer day where everyone's just having a good time at a playground around the dinner hour. Crushed with stress, anxiety, fear. In a minute. Happened in a minute. Now, what happened from there was an exchange of information. Not exactly sure. We're talking almost three decades. And I was younger. Again, want to see a picture of me and my family pet? Check out my Instagram account. But when my father and sister and our family pet finally arrived home, that stress, that fear, that anxiety, it got even worse. The shock had maybe worn off, probably not by much. We're talking 20, 30 minutes thereafter of this event. And the stress, fear, and anxiety started pouring into the other family members of our home. My mother, my other sister, me. People began asking questions. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to our family pet? What's going to happen to our home? That issue was presented. Oh my goodness, we're going to lose everything that we worked for. We're going to get sued. What does that mean? We've never been sued. We're not that kind of family. And I can remember arguments breaking out. I can remember crying. We hadn't even had dinner yet. I had no idea what all this stuff meant, but I heard that word. We're going to get sued. They're going to take everything. And I've seen enough TV to know that's not good. That's going to destroy everything. Maybe my parents are going to go to jail. I had no idea. I had no concept of legal issues, matters, ramifications, or protection. I had absolutely no idea. But I knew enough from television to know that this wasn't good, and I'm scared. Well, I'm going to bring you back to what happened thereafter here in a second. But let's take a pause. If you want to reach me, 952-222-9462. 952-222-9462. And we will be right back. All right. I don't know. Have you heard about Minnesota Statute 181.988? Minnesota Statute 181.988. This impacts all employees, employers. This is a statute that went into effect last summer. And it impacts everybody. Employers, employees. It impacts everybody. It impacts everybody who are concerned with non-compete agreements, people who are concerned with termination issues, confidentiality issues. Do I have a solicitation agreement? Some people refer to these things as an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. Whenever you start talking about ramifications and whether or not these types of agreements are valid, Minnesota just did a complete 180 on how they handle these types of issues. And unfortunately, this law is very, very poorly written. And I say that because it draws a line in the sand. It draws a line in the sand between those who have these types of agreements prior to July 1st, 2023. So a person who entered into some sort of agreement in June of 2023 has a different set of laws than a person who signs an agreement like this just a couple days thereafter. It is not retroactive, or at least it doesn't appear to be. There is going to be a ton of litigation about or regarding this statute. I can already see that happening. It's just really, really messy. Employment laws are federally based. They're also state-based. And the laws between the states are so different. I mean, traveling over the border to pick a state can change drastically just by crossing the border. It can change drastically if the employer's domiciled in a certain place and you are not. Maybe you're a remote worker. Maybe that's not your situation, but I do know this law creates all kinds of problems. So, if that's you, you probably already know it. And these are things that employers and employees of all levels need to take over, take care of. So, I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Uh-oh, that's the chopper. I think it's time to make a transition into some military information. Maybe you're a veteran, maybe you're not. Maybe your family has a military veteran in it. Maybe the family veteran is very mature, in their 80s, maybe even 90s, 50s, or maybe they're young. Doesn't really matter. Because as veterans, there are a handful of, I don't know, promises that the government has made that are pretty substantial. I'm not going to say that I served in the military for all of these promises, and just like you, you didn't join the military for all of these promises. But there are promises that were made, and by golly, we got to manage them. And they're not easy to manage because the VA and the administrative rulemakers seem to always change the rules or blur the rules or make it really, really hard. My golly, why do they have to make it so hard? That's what they do. And so you probably saw this. This is recent. I mean, this is like a couple days ago where the VA claims or that they're going to perhaps change the rules when it comes to burial rights for the spouse of a military veteran. Now, in the future, I'm going to devote an entire show just to this. So please check back. This rule, this regulation is really new, just now developing. Who knows if it gets reversed or how it's presented, but it is ugly. It is ugly. What's that? I know. It's horrible. And it changes even those who, you know, like, oh, wait a second. My father, my grandfather, they died 25 years ago. This doesn't impact us. Grandma's fine. No, she might not be. She might not be fine. This is going to change a lot of things. And if you were counting on perhaps some sort of burial rite at the local military cemetery, or were counting on some sort of benefits and maybe an honor guard of some kind, or, you know, why would you want to be buried next to your spouse? I can see why that'd be a great thing, but apparently the VA wants to change all these things. So very, very new, developing. And right now, what does this mean? Well, this just means that the VA is making our lives a living, well, you know what. And there's things that we got to do right now. We got to have our funeral directives in place. Because if the VA changes the rules set today, 2024, maybe they change it in 25 years from now, where I'm not competent enough to make a decision. Well, then probably I'm going to want to declare that it is an absolute must that I am buried next to my spouse. Now, if I am not buried in a military cemetery, fine. But make sure I'm next to my spouse. Or maybe the opposite is true. I must be buried in a cemetery, military based, and my spouse wants to be buried someplace else. Maybe a family plot, maybe some other cemetery linked to a religious affiliation, or, you know, who knows? Or maybe ashes in an urn on the shelf, and we just want to keep passing these urns from generation to generation. Very bad idea, but maybe that's your thinking. I don't know, but we got to be able to identify a point person, and we have to get certain things in place. Because unfortunately, the way things are going now, we just almost have to assume that the laws are not going to be there to protect our military service, then the laws are not going to help our family members make a decision. In fact, it's going to be the exact opposite. It's going to make them frustrated, and they're not going to know what to do. Because your military service was about 15 years before you were, say, married, or maybe you came back and didn't identify what is or what is not important to you. I mean, we live in Minnesota, for Pete's sake. It's not like we're crawling with military institutions. Been in any other state across the country? You know that's not true. Here in Minnesota, believe it or not, there's a military. And I'm not talking guard and reserves, okay? A lot of respect for those branches of the military. They are critical to us. Us as a population in the United States of America, and those here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota, and the rural parts. But the rules for that service are different than, say, active duty. And it's frustrating. What do you do? Well, I think the general rule is we just assume that the laws are not going to be there for us. So we have to put things in place to make sure that these things are accounted for. So if that's you, if you saw this new rule, you know it's a problem. It probably probably stood out like a sore thumb when you saw it. But like a lot of us, we just kind of pressed on. You know, don't have to worry about that right now. So I can't make that decision for you, but this is a big one. If you want to talk about it, give me a call. 952-222-9462. But that's a big one. All right, let's take a quick break. All right, I got spring fever. Baseball's in the air, and I have spring fever. Maybe you do too. Maybe you don't like baseball. Maybe you have no reason to pay attention to Major League Baseball. I don't blame you. It's pretty slow. But imagine if you were the commissioner of Major League Baseball. Wait a second, no. Imagine you just had a job. Just imagine you were employed somewhere. And you decided that you were going to declare your retirement. Okay? You're going to declare your retirement. But you're not going to retire today. You're not going to retire tomorrow. Not even in a month. I'm going to retire in the year 2029. 5 years from today. How silly is that? Now, you may think about retirement. That's fine. That's great. We all should. But to declare your retirement 5 years from today, 3 years from today, 2 years from today, is just silly. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen later on today. Well, the commissioner of Major League Baseball had a gigantic press conference a week before spring training started. You probably saw it on your favorite sports show. Gigantic press conference. Everybody comes. Hey, let's ask the commissioner about certain things. I wish I had a chance to ask him some things. But anyways, he didn't want to answer questions from the media or people curious about the health of the game. He wanted to talk about his retirement. Very selfish. But we have to be selfish with our own retirement. It's just really selfish to think, well, I'm going to retire in 5 years from my place of work. Why is that selfish? Well, to be spreading that kind of content around, you're really saying to the world, I get to choose. My choice. And you and I both know that's not true. It is not our choice. It rarely ever is. Our health, our family, our social surroundings, all these external attributes can really take control and crush us, or they can build us up. I just don't understand declaring our retirement that far in the future. Even if you're contractually bound. And hopefully, there are some contracts in place. Maybe some sort of trust document, a contract with himself and his family. Maybe he has an employment agreement with the Major League Baseball. I'm sure he does. Heck. Maybe he has a covenant not to compete in that agreement between him and the other owners. Anyways, these are things that I think about. Ah, shoot. That's the closing bell. End of the show. I apologize. I'm going to get to all these other issues. I'm grateful of your attendance and support, and I'll catch you on the other side. Have a great day.
Jasper thanks you for listening. Please subscribe or share this production.